seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD brand weather stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's day, January 27th, episode 117. Let's get started with breaking news. And here we go again with the Jimmy Butler saga. Right before we started recording, Shams announced that Jimmy Butler has now been suspended indefinitely by the Miami Heat. Folks, the divorce is coming. And basically, the stare down is that is, you know, Miami's trying to still contend and win with a guy that's literally, they got to get off their roster. And the way he's played, the way he's conducted himself and acted, it's best that he does stay at home until he gets traded, if he gets traded. And it's something where Jimmy Butler, like we've talked about, has done this in every stop. Listen, he did it, you know, when he first got into the league. He did it with Minnesota, right? He did it with Chicago. He did it with Philadelphia. Now he's doing it with Miami, where he's got to find his way off the roster. And I know there was an interesting take on TNT last week with Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Shaq. And Shaq kind of defending it. You can't defend actions like this. You can't. The guy's hurting his value. He knows that he's got to get moved because he wants a max deal. He doesn't want to go to Brooklyn, who's got the money, nor should Brooklyn want him at this point in his age and what Brooklyn's trying to do. So now he's forcing a divorce. Let the divorce happen. The divorce is coming. Look out for that trade. Obviously, we talked about last week between Utah and Phoenix with those three first-round picks going to Phoenix. Does that work? Folks, you're going to see a third, maybe a fourth, maybe even a fifth team to try and make this work. I still think Jimmy ends up in Phoenix. It's just going to take a lot of movable parts. Let's stay in the NBA with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who has hit their little bit of their speed bump. We've been waiting for this. Cleveland has lost three games in a row, and is there concern in Cleveland? They now only have they still have a five-game lead over the Boston Celtics for the number one seed and the Eastern Conference. So you kind of look around and say, hey, what's the concern here with this team? Folks, they lost to Houston, at Philadelphia, and Houston again. Houston's been one of the best stories of the NBA. Shout out to Ime Udoka, who should really get strong consideration for Coach of the Year. And the loss they had to Philadelphia, I mean, they lost 132-129. And if you kind of look back and peel it back, you get 37 from Spider Mitchell. You get 26 from Garland. They played without Evan Mobley, right? So there's your look at right there versus the Philadelphia 76ers team, which I've said time and time again is going to make the playoffs. Simply put, when you look at this team and Cleveland, they are about to sum their parts. The thing that you have to worry about Cleveland is they haven't proven it in the playoffs, right? They have not proven it in the playoffs. And there's going to be concern, folks, when you look at this, and there's no other way to slice or dice it, okay? I still think Boston's the best team in the East. I still think the Knicks are the second best team in the East. Throw records out the window. I got to give Milwaukee credit. They're playing much better, 8-2 over the last 10 games. Cleveland's probably the third or fourth best team in the East. To me, it's about matchups. Did he match up better with Milwaukee, Boston, or New York? If they see a team in the playoffs, they want to see Milwaukee first. Then they want to see the Knicks. Then they want to see the Celtics. For them, it's about matchups. Staying in the NBA, let's go to the Western Conference, where the Phoenix Suns are playing much better basketball, winners of 7 of the last 10, but there's still drama down in the Valley. Why? Jusuf Nurkić. A Jusuf Nurkić that started the season as a starting center, came over a trade, was getting you 8.6 and 9.2, has not only been pulled out of the rotation completely, he's getting DNPs. And it's kind of a shocking term for a pro that's had a decent career. He's been a starter since, I think, 2016, 2017, when he backed up Nikola Jokic. But when you saw the trade of Nick Richards, you figured this was coming, right? Nick Richards, I told people, was going to be a double-double guy. He's been fantastic, 13.3, 12.3 in those four games, three in the starting lineup. And they still have Mason Plumlee, who's a serviceable pro. My point is Phoenix, as part of the trade of moving and getting probably Jimmy Butler, what do they do with Yusuf Nurkic? They're also playing the rookie Iguodaro from, you know, Marquette. So they're not going to play four centers. Someone's got to go. It's not going to be Richards. It's not going to be Plumlee. It's not going to be Iguodaro. It's going to be Yusuf Nurkic. And I suspect if Yusuf Nurkic does not get playing time or does not get traded, look for Yusuf Nurkic to probably be a waiver wire deal where they release him after the trade deadline and someone picks him up for the stretch run. He still is a serviceable big. I wanted to end this tip-off topics talking about college basketball, not college basketball, the WNBA, as there was a major trade that went down in WNBA last night. And now Shams is reporting WNBA stuff all of a sudden. And the three-team blockbuster trade went like this. The Seattle Storm acquired the number two pick in the 2025 WNBA draft, along with other assets, as part of a three-team trade, in which the Los Angeles Sparks got the number nine pick, right? And then the Aces bring the number 13 pick, but that's not the key. The key is Kelsey Plum going to LA, Jewel Lloyd going to Las Vegas. So how does this break down and how do I see it? Okay. I want to kind of take you through this a little bit. Okay. Let's start with the Sparks. The Sparks wanted Paige Bueckers. Paige Bueckers wanted the Sparks. The Sparks didn't win the lottery. That went to the Wings. The Wings want Paige. Paige don't want to go there, right? So that's going to be a little bit of a staring contest. I still think Paige comes out, right? Or if maybe they go with Iriafin, right? So here's the problem, folks. Here's what people need to realize. If you look at Los Angeles, they have Cameron Brink, they have Dorica Hamby, they have Rekia Jackson. They got their front line set, right? They need a point guard. So where do they go to get the point guard? They thought it was going to be Paige Bueckers. Here's the problem, folks. Paige may not be there at two because she may go at one, right? Then there's Olivia Miles, the star guard out of Notre Dame. I think she may go back to Notre Dame for her senior year to play another year in Hannah Hidalgo. Remember, she had the ACL tear, missed all of last year. So now Los Angeles is stuck. So now they get a proven scorer in Kelsey Plum. Remember, I talked about her maybe going to the Valkyries. She is from California. And because she scored, she had to be traded. Let's go and look at it as Las Vegas' thing. They think Jewel Lloyd as a number three or four scoring option is very good. I don't think Jewel is a number one scoring option. She was great as a number two with Stewie in Seattle. Now she slides in as that second, third, fourth, probably I would say two or three, depending on how she's going, because everything goes through Asia Wilson. So that's something to watch out for there as regards to that. My concern with Vegas, with Chelsea Gray, with Jackie Young, with Jewel Lloyd, they're small one, two, three. I think that hurts them in the rebounding. I still don't take them over to Liberty. We'll talk about that in our award tour. Lastly, for Seattle, they get a chance of picking up a good draft pick at number two. Now, Seattle is going to be a sleeper team, folks, because they got Megabur. They're going to get Awumake back. Skylar Diggins-Smith will come back. That team was a top four, top five team. If you look at the WNBA, it's New York, it's Vegas, I think it's Indiana. Maybe that fourth team is still Seattle. Some of these other teams, Chicago, not good. Phoenix may lose Brittany Griner. The Suns are in a state of flux with all the free agents. There's still a way to look at this team to be a possible top four or top five team in the WNBA. Coming up after the commercial break, we'll get to our award tour. We'll look at a future market with the Atlanta Hawks, if we think they make the playoffs or not. We'll look at who I think will win the WNBA title. And hint, I kind of gave it away. Does Carolina make the NCAA tournament? And does SMU, yes, the Pony Express, do they make the tournament? We'll be back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 117. Let's get into our award tour where we look at, you know, future odds in college and pro basketball. Let's begin with the intriguing case with the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks right now sitting at 22-23, have a minus 128 price to make the playoffs with a plus 102 to miss it. And remember, folks, we talk about playoff prop future odds. We're talking about them making the eight. Finally, not this does not include the play-in tournament. Okay? So when you look at Atlanta, they're tied with Miami. We fully expect Miami to drop off. I already told you last week, I thought they're not making the playoffs. So now it comes down to this. Cleveland, yes. Boston, yes. Knicks, yes. Bucks, yes. Pacers, yes. This is where people think I'm crazy. Detroit, yes. There's six. So now we have Orlando, Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia fighting for those last two spots. I told you I'm taking the 76ers. So if I think the 76ers and both the Magic are going to make it, then that means that someone's got to go. That's Atlanta. I firmly believe that Philadelphia will get the 10th spot. They will win, and they will find a way to get their way in along with Orlando, which leaves Atlanta looking out. And listen, Atlanta Hawks team that's played relatively well this year. And Atlanta Hawks team, did you say, well, what do you think, Coach? What are your other reasons why? They also have the 12th toughest schedule the rest of the way, right? You know, you look at Philadelphia, they have the 26th toughest schedule the rest of the way. They have one of the easier schedules left in the NBA. Miami, throw them out, forget about it. Chicago, to 10th, forget about it, right? I think because of the fact that the easier schedule of Philadelphia coupled with the hardest schedule for Atlanta, and I think Philadelphia's going to make a run and get in, I do like the Atlanta Hawks at plus 102 to miss the playoffs. Let's jump from the NBA to the WNBA. Whereas after the trade, I was curious to see where the market was in regards to winning the WNBA title. Folks, I'm going back all in on the New York Liberty right now at 2-1 to win the title. Why do you ask? Simply put, it's those two players right there. Breanna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu. Folks, remember Sabrina Ionescu was playing with an injured wrist, I do believe, which she hurt in game four of the WNBA Finals, which makes sense for her horrific shooting game five. But to me, the hardest thing to do as a championship team is win the first one. So when you look at the WNBA, when you look at that team, when you look at the three-level scoringness of a Breanna Stewart, right, former most valuable player. You look at the way she impacts the game, the way that the New York got much better once they moved Vandersloot, who won't be back, into the starting lineup. They took out the starting lineup, and they put Sab at the one, where she is a scoring point guard, right? They get Leona Fibich as at the two-guard spot, and they were able to go tall with 6'4 with Fibich, and then obviously Jonquel, Laney Hamilton, and obviously the player Breanna Stewart. There's another precursor here, the reason why I think this. Folks, I think they're getting Satu Sabally. I've been hearing this a lot from people I know. That's her preferred destination. She's from New York. Her sister Naira plays on the Liberty. She wasn't picked up in the expansion draft by the Valkyries, right? She's best friends with Ionescu. Things are lining up. Now, there'll be other suitors for Satu Sabally, Chicago. Big one to really look at is Indiana. But I think a Laney Hamilton for Satu Sabally trade does work financially. I think the hardest one is winning the first one. They got the first one. New York Liberty to repeat as WNBA champions at 2 two, one. Let's go to the college game where Rebecca Harrelson, our director of social media, may not allow me to do episode 118 because I'm about to tick her off. Folks, North Carolina is not making the NCAA tournament. Folks, they're just too damn inconsistent. And it's just it's the coaching. And people want to talk about what Hubert Davis should be or should not be there. To me, it's about who he has surrounded at Seth. Yes, they're sitting 6-3. But ready? I think Duke's getting a bid. I think Clemson's getting a bid. I think Louisville's getting a bid. Wake Forest, I think they get a bid. I think Pittsburgh jumps some teams and they get a bid. And the team that is on the outside looking in to me, even though they have a 6-3 record, is Carolina. I don't see the quality wins. They struggled to get a 102-96 win versus BC. They still got to go at Pittsburgh, at Duke. They played Pittsburgh twice. They got to go at Clemson, at Syracuse, Duke again. This is too tough a schedule. I love Hubert Davis. I love that university. I love watching them play with RJ Davis. It's just not in the cards for them. They are missing, especially that center position, that what Armando Bacot gave them for so long. North Carolina not to make the tournament. But if a team is going to make the tournament, pony up. It's SMU. At plus 160 to make the NCAA tournament. Remember, SMU is now in the ACC, right? They're sitting with a record of 6-3 as well. So I'm taking one 6-3 team over the other 6-3 team, right? Yes, they have a bad loss to Louisville by 25 points. They got blown up by Duke. They don't have the quality wins, but I'm looking down this pipe. They got Cal home, Stanford home, at VTech, Pittsburgh home, Wake Forest at home, at Notre Dame, home Clemson. They don't have to play Carolina or Duke the rest of the way. They have a far easier schedule down the stretch than Carolina. And even though Carolina's got a 15-point win at Chapel Hill, the schedule down the stretch for SMU makes it more likely for them to make the tournament at plus 122. That's why I'm taking them. And I'm going to go minus 108 for Carolina to miss out. Coming up next, we get into our scouting report as we break down some big games in NBA, including LeBron heading to Philly, take on Tyrese Maxey and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Denver Nuggets try to rebound after giving about 102,000 points to New York Knicks. And then old school Big East, St. John's, Georgetown. This is your Betting Above the Rim podcast. We will be back with our scouting report and a buzzer beater after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 117. And let's get into our scouting report as we preview some of the biggest games of the NBA. Leading off with a big game in the Philadelphia as LeBron James and AD and company head east to take on Tyrese Maxey and the Philadelphia 76ers. Remember, folks, Lions are not out. It's a heavy slate on Monday night. Look for my scouting report tomorrow to kind of give you my thoughts and my leans in regards to this match. Right now, Sports Grid gives it a 51% chance of a win by the Philadelphia 76ers. And I agree with this. I think this Philadelphia 76ers team is playing much better. You got to remember, folks, number one, Lakers are going to be on the second leg of a back-to-back. They got to play at Charlotte. Maybe Charlotte pushes them a little bit. Then they got to head to Philadelphia. So right off there, you have a rest advantage Philadelphia, back-to-back LA, right? That's the other thing, right? Going into tonight, no Hutafino, no Wood, no Vinton, no Hachimura. So now they're going to be compromised, right? And then you look at a team in Philadelphia that's starting to play better ball, two big wins back-to-back versus Cleveland and Chicago. Remember, Lakers won the earlier game, 116-106. So we're only looking at the Philadelphia 76ers probably be close. Money line, Philadelphia 76ers. If the game is anything less than or more than, I would say, 4.5, maybe look the other way. But 4.5 or less, Philadelphia 76ers, or take the money line for them outright if it's 2.5 or less. Let's head to the second game in a big matchup rematch and a game that the Knicks won huge versus the Denver Nuggets. This game will be played Wednesday night. Okay, Wednesday night game between the Knicks and the Nuggets. This is the ESPN game tipping off at 7:30. Remember, Knicks won that freeze game 145-118. The Knicks team has won three games in a row. Nuggets just got smoked 133-104 at Minnesota. Knicks just won 143-120. I look at the Knicks team total over. This Knicks team is the most efficient team in the NBA, one of the best teams offensively. They have five guys that can get you 20 points at any given night. They seem to score and score really well. And look for the Knicks to go over their team total. They're going to probably be hanging that thing at about 115.5, 116.5. I think the Knicks clear 120+. Look for the Knicks to go over their team total over. Go to the college game. St. John's, Georgetown. And it makes me think about 1985. You know, we just lost Louis Carnesecca not too long ago. We lost John Thompson. I pray to Patino, wears the Louis sweater. And I pray the coach of Georgetown, I don't know why I'm blanking on him right now. It's crazy that I'm doing it, that he wears the sweater as well to honor the great Louis Carnesecca. But I like St. John's here. St. John's has played really good ball. I told you, I think St. John's is winning the Big East. They play this up-tempo style play. They'll probably hang the over-under at about 140, 143.5. Look for this game to go about 150 or so. Ed Cooley is the coach of Georgetown there. It just came back to my head. But I like St. John's to win, and if you like anything, go over. Last big matchup, Kentucky-Tennessee. Now, Kentucky has started to hit a little bit of a rough patch, and I don't even know what to say when you call about rough patches, folks, because the SEC is loaded. These are two teams. Kentucky has dropped three spots. They're now 14-5. And you got to look at the fact of Kentucky is on a little bit of a losing streak, losing two games in a row before they go at Tennessee. Give me the Vols at home. Rick Barnes will have that team fired up. It'll be a good game. Look for that game to be slowed down. Now let's get to our buzzer beater topic. And the NBA announced their All-Star game last week. And I didn't get a chance to talk about it. So the East starters are Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Karl Anthony Towns. The West is Steph Curry, SGA, LeBron, KD, and the Joker. And it sets up an interesting thing about, like, is it about legacy and what you've done for the game? Or is it about your play? If you look at the East, it's about the play. If you look at the West, it's about the legacy. You can't argue any of these 10 guys. The only argument you're going to have is if LaMelo Ball got over Brunson. That would have been a huge mistake. But every other person in this list, it earns the honor. And for the New York Knicks, for the first time in 50 years, 1975, do you know who it was? It was Clyde Frazier and Earl the Pearl that both made the starting team in 75. And the MVP was Clyde. I think Brunson went to this year. This has been your Betting About the Rim podcast, episode 117. For all sports and things sports gambling, download the Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Matty George, who always does a great job, Vinny, who does a great job with the graphics, thank you for listening, folks. And always remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.